Welcome to our series this Christmas season of the reasons for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Today we will look at the second reason in Dad's sermon titled, Christ Came to Fulfill Prophecy, in which he reveals three prophetic voices that declare that the Son of God is going to come to this world.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy that you've opened the door for us. We can come in to be with you. And all over the world, and I wish I could see some of your places and some of you people and to get to visit with you. And you know what? If you'll put your faith in Jesus, if you'll receive Jesus into your life, I'm going to get to see you in heaven. And I just can't wait to see where you were and how you lived. And we'll just have a great time. Then we'll worship the Lord together, and then we'll visit, and then we'll worship. And I don't know what we'll... I just know it'll be a wonderful place. Paul said he had a vision. He says, I can't put into words the beauty of heaven. And we're going to see it for ourselves. Well, we want to thank you for your letters. And I'll share just some of the letters for you. Somebody wrote and said, maybe you should have more letters and less sermon. And I vetoed that. That scared me to death. Never heard of such a thing. But let me give you some of the letters. Here's an interesting one. Liberty, Missouri. And say, thank you for all your prayers and Bible teaching and love and concern for all the people listening. For some of us, it's the only church service we have. Each service is special. I tape mine because, listen to this, I sometimes fall asleep. Can you believe that? Well, I can believe that because when I pastored in churches, I just pastor now on the television. But for over 60 years, I was in churches. I put them to sleep all the time. And I remember one pastor, and he had a fellow on the front row, front pew. And the guy went to sleep, and he was nodding, and he was about to snore. And so the pastor, he just couldn't stand it anymore, and he stopped. And he said, the usher, will you go and wake that man up? And the usher says, no, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. Those ushers, sassy ushers of all things. Usually it's the deacons, but this time it was an usher. But here, listen to what she says. She says, I sometimes fall asleep. Then I go back and listen again. It's like a child on her mother or father's lap. It's comforting to the soul, and Jesus is in control and uses your service for comforting. God bless you and keep you till he calls us home. And so, yes, Jesus will. He'll be with us till he calls us home. But you have to receive him. That's the main thing. We're going to pound that over and over and over, because that's all that counts. Here's Sioux City, Iowa. And he says, there are times I feel like I need to ask Jesus again to save me. And there's that we hear from people quite often. They'll say, well, I prayed to Jesus to come into my heart every night. Now, you only pray that once. You can't go to your mother and say, I want to be born again, be born another time in the flesh. You're just born once. And in the Spirit, it's the same thing. You're born once by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're baptized into the body of Christ when you accept Jesus. And so you just ask him a single time. Now, when we sin, and after we're saved, we sin. Then we go to Jesus and we ask him to forgive us for our sins. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9 was written to Christians. 1 John was written to Christians. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you commit a sin 1,000 times, you go to Jesus, he'll forgive you every time. Just make your effort to live for him the best you can. But when you stumble, get up, just ask for forgiveness and get up and go. Jacksonville, Florida. Let me see. I want to tell you that, here's a nice letter. I want to tell you that my husband received Jesus after one of your services earlier this year. Please keep telling people about Jesus. Tell people not to give up on anyone. Jesus called him home in September. Listen to this. He was 96 years old. I have the blessed hope now that I'll see him again one day. Kindest regards. Not many people come when they're in their 90s. I'm 96. And I say we're like a mutt in a rut, and we've done it so long we don't change. But when the Holy Spirit talks to us, there's always some that'll come. even in the 90s, they come to Jesus. I came to Jesus when I was 10. But here's a man, 96. But the Lord will still save you. If he calls, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. One more letter, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. This is from the women's prison in Sioux Falls. They said, I had written to you while in jail. I'm so grateful your program was on because it not only gave me something to watch, but fed me spiritually as well. It also is a blessing to the other women in the cell with me, even though they didn't really want to watch it. God seemed fit to bless them to hear his word. I am not out, and I bless God. I'm still not out. Bless God. And so here she is, and she's having her cellmates listen with her, and some of them aren't too happy about that. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will talk to those people, and many of them can be saved, and all of them can be helped. And God knows then in prison that he'll just bless you and help you and carry you through. So we hope that many of you will write. You get your pencil and paper. At the close of the service, I'm going to give the invitation. I'm going to give the address for our service. Well, let's say we're in our series of sermons about Christmas, the coming of the Lord Jesus. And last week we preached on how Jesus came to reveal the invisible God. And now today we're going to talk about Jesus, how that he came to fulfill prophecy. And when we study this, looking at this today, we're talking about he came to fulfill prophecy and it is through the incarnation. And when we talk about the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, we're talking about the enfleshment of Jesus, when he took upon himself human flesh, and he was just like we are, except he had no sin. He's the only sinless person that ever lived. And so we're going to look at some of the prophecies about his coming. And one thing we need to remember about the Bible, the Word of God, is that when God prophesies something, he predicts something, he prophesies something's going to come to pass, well, that prophecy is going to come to pass. Now, not all of the prophecies have passed, but come to pass yet, but they will before the end of time. And in the end of time, every prophecy given in the Bible will come true. And so when you come to the Lord Jesus over and over, just about, for instance, the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, look at all the prophecies that we have. Moses said he would be the seed of a woman. That was a prophecy that came true. Isaiah said he would be divine. Isaiah said he would be a Davidic seed. Micah said the tone of the town and the country of his birth. Isaiah said again he would be virgin born. The psalmist said he would be betrayed. Zechariah told us the amount of the betrayal price. David said he would be accused falsely. David said again he would have his side pierced. The psalmist said they would cast lots for his garments. Amos says there would be darkness at noontime when the Savior dies on the cross. Isaiah tells of the burial of the Son of God, and the psalmist tells of the resurrection from the dead. I tell you, friend, I could read all morning of the wonderful prophecies, and almost all of these are fulfilled. I guess maybe all of these are. Some are yet to be fulfilled. And when you come to Isaiah chapter 53, in that one chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, there are at least 12 different prophecies about the life of Jesus Christ and his death, and they've all come to pass. Now, our study today, we're going to look at the first prophecy in the Bible that talks about Jesus coming again. It's in Genesis 3, verse 15. It's in Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. They sinned against God. And God punished them for their sins and judges them for their sins. And then God gives them a great promise about the coming of the Messiah. It's Genesis chapter 3 and it's verse 15. And this is it. God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking to Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Now you could read it like this to make it a little plainer. And I, God, will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, Eve, between thy seed, the seed of the serpent, and her seed, the seed of the woman. It, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy, Satan's head, and thou, Satan, shall bruise his, the seed of the woman's heel. This prophecy tells us many things to come, but three things really stand out. He says, first of all, there's going to be war between the seed of Satan and the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. There's going to be a war that's with us today, and we see it everywhere, and it's hideous and it's horrible. The devil's fighting as his time comes to an end. And the second thing, Satan is going to bruise the heel of the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of Satan. Both the first and second comings of Christ are included in this prophecy. The first coming, the Savior's heel was bruised. And the second coming, the serpent's head is going to be crushed. Now, head and heel and head in this verse are not literal. They're figures of speech. Each life on earth is represented by the heel. Jesus walked the dusty roads of Palestine. There are many scriptures in times in the scripture. God used the figure of the foot to set forth the life we live. And hence we have the heel speaks of the earth walk or life of our Lord. And then it talks about the rulership of Satan is set forth in this prophecy. His head is going to be crushed. That is his rulership. Satan is spoken in the Bible today as the prince of this world. He's talked about as the god of this age. Well, his kingdom is going to fall, and he himself, Satan, is going to be crushed and cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. So the two comings of Christ are referred to in this ancient scripture in Genesis 3, verse 15. And there is a startling prophecy in this statement of the Savior's coming. This is a startling prophecy, and that is the Savior will be born of the Virgin. And then the prophecy also says he's going to be the seed of the woman. Mark it down, Genesis 3:15. The Savior's going to be the seed of the woman. Do you know what? Of all the millions and billions of people on earth, only one is the seed of the woman, Jesus. All of the rest are the seeds of Adam, the seed of man. And Jesus alone is the seed of this woman. Every one of us on the face of the earth are by the seed of a man except Jesus Christ. So human fatherhood cannot enter in at all in the birth of Jesus Christ. He that is one, and here there's one thing I want you to see today in this message. The coming of the Savior is to be virgin born, and the coming of the Savior is going to be the seed of a woman. Don't ever forget that, because the rest of the humanity is all the seed of a man. It's only Jesus Christ alone. So in this scripture, we see the death of Christ. It says, thou shalt bruise his heel. And so here we see the sufferings and the death of Christ, which was accomplished by Satan. And when they drove the spikes, they did bruise his heel on the cross. But it was Satan's doing. The Romans did it. They were the ones that carried it out. But it was the devil behind it all, because God says to Satan, Satan says, thou shalt bruise his heel. Definitely his reference to the death of Jesus Christ. And then the second thing we see in this verse away back in Genesis is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see that in this way. The seed of the woman is to be put to death by the serpent. Put to death by the serpent. But after that, the seed of the woman destroys Satan. In other words, the one who is put to death by Satan is the one who destroys Satan. And that can only be the resurrection of Christ. Satan put him to death. But God raised him from the dead, and he came back and put Satan into the lake of fire. I am amazed that this scripture is coming to pass. Part of us coming to pass. But the lake of fire, that's yet to come, but it'll come. We see the enmity then, the battle between Christ and Satan. God says there'll be enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And that's going on today. Every day it's going on. and with the forces of Satan against the forces of God, and it's going to go on until the end of time. And when you see this struggle of awful evil, Paul writes about the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of sin, the battle of sin. We don't see it all. You see it in Job, behind the scenes, the struggle. They're playing it out in Job's life. And Job comes forth as pure gold. And his last estate was better than his first estate. But that's that battle between wickedness and the devil. You can see it going on in Revelation chapter 19, where the Antichrist and the Christ, Jesus Christ, has this battle, and Christ will be victorious, and the beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. That's all yet to come, but it'll come, brother, sister. Don't think it won't. In this verse, we have regeneration. The whole battle of the descendants of Adam is a result of the new birth, the regeneration. We never battle against Satan until we're born again. We're a part of his dark black kingdom, and we have these demons about us, and we're fallen angels, the evil things, and we're servants of them, and we're blinded for them. We never fight against the devil until we're born again. And when we're born again, when we accept Jesus Christ, we leave that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And God's Spirit transforms us so that we are part of the body of Christ and that holy body of Christ. And he writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we're on a new battle where with Christ as our leader. And we fight against Satan, the one we once served. So there's the world of prophecy in this one verse. But two things I want to emphasize again. The Savior, when he comes, will be born of the virgin and will be the seed of the woman. Another prophecy is given to us by Isaiah. And in this one, we take a look at it and we see that he talks about it. He says in the 700 years before Jesus Christ is born, 700 years, Isaiah writes. And this is what he writes. Isaiah 7, verses 14 to 16. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And what is that sign? The Lord has give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall bow to refuse evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest must be forsaken by both her kings. Now, Isaiah says, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. God is going to give you a sign. And what is that sign? The virgin will bear a son. The virgin will conceive without the man. It's the seed of the woman. He says, God will give you a sign. And that's happened only once in all eternity. And there it happens, when it just exactly like Isaiah said it. And it sounded impossible when Isaiah said it. They thought that Isaiah was out of his mind to talk about how that he could bear a son and how that he could conceive without any human form. And yet this great and wonderful God, with all the power of God, he says, that's going to be your sign. That's going to be a virgin. Going to give a child. And then they say, you're going to give him a name. And his name is Emmanuel. It means God with us. It was impossible in the minds of the people of Isaiah's day that God would actually literally dwell with men in the flesh. That God, great God Almighty, created all the universe and all there is in existence. How that he's going to dwell among us as a child. And then it says, butter and honey simply means curds and honey. That's what the poor people ate. The princes and the kings, they didn't eat that. That was simple food for the poor people, curds and honey. They ate a lot fancier than that. But this prince that comes, believe me, and he is a prince. He's the Son of God. And it sounded very unlikely and very impossible. But it came to pass just exactly like Isaiah said. And then too, in verse 16, for before the child shall grow to refuse evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken by both her kings. Isaiah is saying, before this child is born and comes, the king of Israel and the king of Judah, they're going to be gone. And they're not even going to have a king. And then he says before, and also that there the seed of David is going to be Abram. There will be no son of David sitting on the throne. There'll be no representative on the throne of Israel. That was crazy business in Isaiah's day. But here what happens, the Assyrians come and drag them off, and the Romans come, and when Jesus Christ was born, Israel didn't have a king, and Judah didn't have a king. They only had the Roman Empire ruling over them, and there was nobody sitting on the throne of David. Just like my friend, if you don't believe the Bible is the word of God, you're pretty dense. I can't imagine it. How can Isaiah possibly know these things? And there's all kinds of prophecies. Tyre and Sidon and Babylon and odd, hundreds of them. And every time God makes a prophecy, pinpoint it exactly, precisely. And so it is. To the people of Isaiah's day, this prophecy sounded just plain crazy. And yet God says, I'll give you a sign. And this sign is, this virgin is going to conceive. And when Jesus was born of Mary, they named Emmanuel. The kings of Judah and Israel were gone. No descendants sat upon the throne. As a matter of fact, there was no throne even for Israel. A foreign power, Rome of the Gentiles, ruled over the Jews. And Assyria had come, a long time had passed. And all this came just exactly like God said. Precisely, exactly, just like God says. Not one jot or one tittle in the word is going to fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. It will be exactly like God said. You know, I love the prophecy where Micah says that Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's like saying Aberdeen of South Dakota. It can only be one place on earth. There can only be one place on earth. And that's got to be in Bethlehem of Judea. And so here's Mary, and she's pregnant, about to give birth to a child, but she's 90 miles away from Bethlehem. She lives in Nazareth. And how are you going to get her to walk? They couldn't afford, when they brought an offering, they brought turtle doves. They were desperately poor, didn't have a donkey, and she walked 90 miles. Now, how can you get her to do that? Caesar Augustus in Rome said, I want everybody to register where they're at their roots, where they're from. And the whole Roman Empire was put in motion so that one woman would travel from Nazareth 90 miles to Bethlehem and give birth exactly where God said it. If he would have been born in Nazareth, the prophecy would have been wrong, but it's exactly what God said. And so when we look at these prophecies, Jesus came to fulfill those prophecies. And those prophecies ought to turn us to Jesus. And you ought to say, I want this Jesus. I can see this is God. And what does God have to say? God says this, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you're a religious leader. You're a religious man, but you need to be born again. And how can I be born again? And it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become something they weren't, the children of God. And so what you do is you pray. And you say, I don't know what to pray. In your own words, just say this. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. And if you want to name some of the sins, and get them off your mind. And then you ask and say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And then you tell him, I'll follow you the best I can. You'll never be perfect, but I'll follow you the rest of my life. And then you thank him. And then you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature. Or you can go to our website, and you can get a lot of the sermons, and you can get a lot of the information from that, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then also you need to write to us and so we encourage us in the work. and help us and support us to pay our way, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. We have no source of income except God's people. We're not underwritten by an organization or a corporation or a denomination. It's just God's people scattered all over the world. And we get money from all over the world, get gifts. And you can do that by going to ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can send a gift from using your currency. We'll get it in our currency and we'll pay our bills. And if you want to worry and know about if the money is safe, are we going to use it? We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and we account for every, our books are audited. They audit us, every penny we take in and every penny we spend, and we're clean as a hound's tooth, and we're proud of it because it's God's money from God's people. So we need to hear from you, Christian Worship Hour, and those of you on the internet, on the short wave, Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. We'd love to hear from you. Now I'm going to pray. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the Christians in Nigeria. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the persecuted church in Nigeria. And we pray that you'll encourage them and help them to know that they're a blessing to us and an encouragement to us. And help us to be better Christians and more dedicated. Because, Lord, we're counting on you, we're trusting in you, and so we want to honor you in all ways. Dear Heavenly Father, we're praying today that you'll be with the shut-ins and those on beds of sickness and those that are lonely, so much loneliness in the world. Help them to know that you promised us, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee, and you'll be with us all the way to glory. You'll never leave us once, not even through the valley of the shadow of death. We pray for those in prison, Lord, and we pray for the young people and facing many of their temptations and struggles that they have. We pray for the little children that watch us and they can understand as we preach the word that they'll make that prayer. God, come into my heart, dear Jesus, and I love you and I'll serve you the best I can. And they have their whole life to give. So, dear Lord, have your way in every heart and every life. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we want you, I just forgot one thing too. We have a little booklet, a little Bible study we put out, and it's the new song. And so you write to us at Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And this month we're talking about gifts that money can't buy. And I got a suspicion you'll like it. So we're going to be looking for you next week when we continue. Why did Christ come? And God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.